You've asked a doctor, why is this happening to me? And the answer is, we don't know. We want you to remember that doesn't have to be the end of the line. Our mission here on When Doctors Say We Don't Know is to learn how to use all types of medicines so we can stop thinking the answer is the diagnosis. You have a choice to go beyond. This is an inclusive conversation. You'll hear insights from doctors, tips from practitioners, and stories from people just like you who are frustrated with the status quo of the health industry. Listen to how they found ways to cross the dividing line and reach out for true health beyond diagnosis. Because sometimes what we've been taught is healthcare is keeping us sick. Welcome to show. My name is Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, and I'll be your host for today's podcast. When Doctors Say We Don't Know is an inclusive conversation, sometimes exclusive, but inclusive mostly. There's so many of us craving to share their stories and experiences, and today's guest is no exception. Today's honored guest is Jennifer Urezio. She is founder of Soul Language, a tool that puts tangibility to soul. Welcome, Jennifer, to the show.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Yay!
So I'm curious, what is tangibility to soul? What is that?
So humans are silly. They like words for things. They like a structure. It allows them to have a deeper sense of their mind, to have a deeper sense of peace. So our soul, our essential nature, is this undefinable, intangible thing. But there's three core energies of soul, and we can put some definitions around that. So what I help people do is understand the language of their soul by identifying their three core energies of soul. And you have one language, we call that language, just one core energy in three different categories. Your mission, how you fuel that mission, and then your soulful personality, how your soul prefers to go through life.
Wow. So this sounds very involved.
It is and it isn't. We do it very simply. We do it with therapeutic kinesiology. So we use our bodies as a pendulum on someone's soul, on the behalf of their soul. And it takes about, 6 minutes, not even, to identify a person's soul languages. And then what happens is they're able to tune in. They're able to understand who they are on such a profound level and move from unconscious to consciousness. And I can also give a one-liner to every soul on this planet, which becomes a mild marker of their consciousness. So my one-liner is, I create balance for myself and others through love, integrity, and courage. And if I'm not being or doing that, I'm going to feel in struggle. I'm going to be creating from a place of pain rather than consciousness.
And well, for me, I believe that our emotional state directly affects our physical state and physical symptoms. So there must have been a time when you were out of alignment with this.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time. I think there's so many ways that you can be out of alignment on an emotional and spiritual level.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, I was, when I was, I was 25. When I think I was out of alignment with actually loving myself, and that caused some strange physical things to show up in my body. And over time, I know that when I'm not profoundly loving myself, or when I'm the exact opposite, when I'm, really hit by shame or profound judgment with myself, I get sick. I mean, sometimes it's a cold, sometimes it's in my chest, sometimes it's something even more profound. I bounce back pretty quickly, but I know that, and it happens very infrequently, but when I am hit by a shame boulder, I am hit also on a physical level.
I like that, shame boulder. Is that, I grapple with this. I love relationshiping and having conversations about how these things, how we affect each other as people. So does the boulder come from external, comes from having that interaction with somebody else, or is it something that's more internal in its nature? I'm going down a rabbit hole, but I'm just curious.
No, I like it. I think it's both. So recently I had one a couple of weeks ago, actually, and it was the first one that I've had in years. And this woman, I was having a bad day. And this woman who I have or did have a partnership with started really going at me. And I didn't stop her, you know? And then I moved into not enough. And before long, I was kind of sitting at my desk crying. And it was only after she hung up on me and out of her own will, I wasn't saying anything nasty, she hung up on me, that and talking to some really amazing spiritual friends, I realized, wow, she was attacking me and shaming me. And I kind of went along for it because I was in, it was like the camel that broke the straw at the back, right?
Yeah.
And I was so shocked by it. And then a couple of days later, I started losing my voice. But then I bounced back because I realized what happened and I stepped back into love and I did some core releasing and some major loving myself into submission. And my voice came back the next day.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, and how did you know to turn that around and love yourself? For a lot of people, they kind of sit out and they hang out in this, the pity party, the self shame. You know, we can continue the recording of the berating messages that were just received by someone else. And we do it on ourselves. The phone's hung up, we're by ourselves. And now we're saying it, going, yeah, I was in this place. I did do something wrong. Shame on me. So how did you know to turn it around into self-love?
The major one is experience, right? Like as soon as I stepped out of the energy a little, I was like, oh, you know, when we are in that much profound shame, we actually need support because that vibration is so low frequency. It needs help to move up the scale. So, I knew that there was something happening. So I automatically got on the phone with someone I love and respect. And she went, oh, darling, that's not about you. And I was like, oh, and then I know that the only way to get out of anything is to love yourself. So practice insight and other people's insights as well.
Okay, cool. And I'm this really is a huge rabbit hole, but I think it really ties into our whole conversation here. It's like, I think the number one thing I see with individuals who are suffering from whatever complaints are on the other end of a doctor especially saying we don't know, there are results of individuals not fully loving themselves. Would you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly, yeah. I think it's, you know, when we don't love ourselves, we're in separation, and that separation allows crazy stuff to kind of get in there, right?
Yeah.
So it's really about practicing self-love and in all of the nooks and crannies of who you are, and really listening, deep listening, and allowing yourself the opportunity to receive support. I think so often, especially when you're going from doctor to doctor, so to speak, there's this whole thing of like not feeling truly supported and or understood. And that's why I think it's really important to have those people around you where you know that they are a resource of profound support and profound love that will keep you, help you remind you that you're whole and complete. Even if you're are experiencing some discomfort and sickness or a challenge.
It's just the validation, right? Of, oh, I can see that I may not have the answer for you, but I understand that you're in XYZ discomfort, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And it's compassion, not sympathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sympathy, you know, condones bad behavior, right? So it's really about having those people around that's really compassionate, really loving, and also will go, okay, so let's find someone else. How do we attract something new? Who can we turn to? Let's ask some resources, not to try to be a Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It, but to really help you hear guidance from your soul and the wisdom of the universe, that when we're in a fear cycle or a challenge, sometimes it's hard to hear.
Oh, fear. I mean, talk about what we're going through as a whole world right now, shall we? I don't know if we want to, but the fear that's been pounded into us over COVID, stay home, don't talk to anybody, don't touch anybody, don't look at anybody. It's what it feels like, but there's a lot of fear out there. And what is that doing to us?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really interesting as a case study to, you know, all of that fear has always been present, but now it's so in our face, we can't ignore it, right? Now it has a title.
So, yes.
Right. So it's interesting to really decide and really make the decision about what you want to believe in, what you need to feel safe internally and externally, and how are you going to feel safe expressing it?
Yeah. And I would imagine that knowing your soul language would help you with that mission.
Yeah, I think, you know, my soul languages are, my mission is an equalizer. The next category is how I'll be known here, and that's called teacher of integrity. And then my soulful personality is graceful warrior. So I create balance for myself and others through love, integrity, and courage. And, you know, I've always been that equalizer part of me has always been the hardest for me to express because of that warrior nature. So I've had to express a lot of balance for myself through this whole process about being really comfortable with being, being still, also, you know, tapping in and trusting, right? And I think people, you know, I think the soul is wonderful to help you practice trust.
And in this case, we're talking about trusting maybe the body's design, our place here on the planet, that COVID is part of it, and so are we. So there must be a way for us to coexist. I mean, I'm just picking ideas out, but this is how I get through the day.
Yeah, no, and I love that COVID is a part of us. So I love that. That's like the light bulb went off over my head. I love that.
Yay.
right? And trust in the unknown. I think so many people go, okay, so I need to trust. So then I know everything's going to work out and I feel safe. That's not what trust is, people. Trust is about knowing that you are safe in the unknown.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's where that courage comes in. You were talking about love, integrity, and courage. And it's the integrity to know that you do have a body that's designed perfectly to heal, and then giving it what it needs, that love, in order to overcome the fear, which is the courage to move on. And that's you in a nutshell, really. And me too, but you in a nutshell. So
me in a nutshell. Yeah. And that's what's so important about understanding your soul languages, because when you do, right, you have you in a nutshell, and you have the perfect wisdom inside of you to move from fear to consciousness, to move from pain and struggle to consciousness. And it's a tool that creates such a profound connection with your essential nature that you kind of stop text messaging yourself with autocorrect. You're actually having a deep, profound conversation, which then creates more goodness in your world. And no matter if bad or good is happening, there's a deeper sense of profound peace and safety within you. And that's all anyone wants. We all just want to feel good. That doesn't mean like we're negating the bad or we're stuffing it or doing bypass. But I think that we can learn to go through challenges without suffering.
Yeah. And grounding that message into our everyday lives and making this practical. I hear a lot of things about just think positive and use this mantra. I don't, that doesn't ground it well enough. It's too lofty, it's too woo-woo. You know, what you're doing here and what you're providing is a way to ground something, bringing your ultimate design with your message down to earth and giving you the tools and power. I now acknowledge who I am, and I'm going to be that in the world. And that's true. That's beautiful. Yeah,
beautifully said. And, you know, I think it's also lofty, and I love that you said that, because people try to go from fear to enlightenment.
Yeah.
And that's a whole lot of levels of consciousness. That's not fear.
It's hard. It's too hard. Yeah. You can't get to there from here. You got to start at fear. So, I mean, and that's what the other reason why we're having this conversation, the we don't know conversation. Like, when I first announced it, people were like attacking me. What are you doing? Doctors have their certificate on the wall and their degree. How dare you disrespect them? Not at all. It's an inclusive conversation because they're just as frustrated with the system. So anyways, it's all part of it. It's all part of this big minutia of work that we all have. And we're bringing something. We're bringing a piece to the puzzle to heal. And I think that's what's needed right now. So I want to know, have you ever been faced with the answer, we don't know?
Yeah, you know, when I was 25, I was experiencing real pain, like serious cramping. And it was happening all the time. And I went to my gynecologist and they're like, she's like, I don't know. And I kept like, it kept getting worse. And she's like, I really don't know. And we did test after test. And finally she's like, listen, I think we're going to have to go in. Mm. And finally, after months, and this was months, and the amazing thing about my doctor was that she didn't know, she was willing not to know, and she was also willing to be open to finding out without predetermining what she thought it was.
So the exploratory surgery was something she wasn't comfortable with, but did anyway? Is that what I'm hearing?
It wasn't that she wasn't comfortable. It was that she wanted to make sure it was the last resort for me.
Yeah.
Well, right?
That's good. Yes. Yeah.
Right? She didn't jump to that right away. So we did it, and I had a blood clot between my fallopian tube and my ovary.
Oh, wow.
And everyone's like, that, we've never seen this. Like, we don't even know how it got there. And so they put me on this weird medicine that made me go into this fake menopause, which was horrible. And after a couple of months, the pain wasn't there because it's just shrunk away. Because you weren't feeding the clot anymore. But the most important thing was that I think she also always kept me in mind. So after I was kind of better for a couple of months, she's like, listen, I went to the seminar. She called me. I went to the seminar. And I want to do some blood work on you because there's this disease that you might have that makes you spontaneously blood clot. She goes, it's very rare. I don't think you have it, but let's check it out. So she was thinking about me. She was being open to opportunities way past me healing. I didn't have it, by the way. But so I think that what's so amazing is that I think when you say, I don't know, not as in, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
But I don't know, it gives the universe the chance to provide you with new opportunities. And I think so often people, you know, professionals will go, there's nothing wrong with you, I don't know, as a way to, because it's not in their book.
Yeah. Outside of their learned experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's pride or if that's just a learned, like that's what was trained into them to say. And maybe it's a combination of both, because who wants to be wrong? Who wants to have someone come to them for their experience and then say, I have no clue. There must be nothing wrong with you because I don't know.
Right. I actually think it's the difference is a doctor that listens to their inner guidance versus one who doesn't.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So could this be a difference? Like if there's somebody who's listening to all of this and thinking, well, I have some of these unexplainable things going on, and my doctors keep telling me that, could it be that there's just a value difference between the listener and who they're going to for help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's also about, you know, really tuning in and setting the intention that they're right in your greatest good of all. Guide, mentor, doctor falls in your lap.
Yeah. Well, and what a great gift that your doctor was bothered by the fact that she didn't have an answer for you. But she also didn't put, like, or, you correct me if I'm wrong, like when we're out and being customer service, if you're trying to get something from a, somebody in a, let's say a clothing store, and you ask them a question, they go, I don't know, but let me get back to you. That would be the great response. Did she say, oh, let me get back to you? Or did she just come up one day and say, oh, I've been thinking about this, and I think I've got the answer for you?
She came back to me and went, I've been thinking about this.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't ask for it. She didn't offer it. But still, that's very, you know, that is a true, that's a true measure of a healer in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. She, you know, she was at a conference watching this presentation. And now that my memory is coming back fully, she's like, and you popped into my brain.
Ah.
And I went, now I'm thinking about it. Now I go, oh, I found a doctor who was listening to her intuition. Like,
yeah.
You know, at 25, I wasn't. So, you know, I think that healing, as you know, is a holistic approach. You can't deny one part of you. Mm-mm. And expect you to realign wholly and completely, and you express the wholeness and completeness if one part of you is still being denied or in pain.
Yeah, I think that's a big key. And I'm thinking about how, you know, I love connecting the dots and seeing where things connect that most people are not giving too much credence to. I fully see where soul language can help empower a person to ask better questions, or at least make different decisions about their care practitioners to help them on their healing journey.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, there's a mission language called Prophet, right? Who, top line, right? They receive divine messages, and the unconscious of that very top line is that they're free to use their voice.
Oh.
So if a prophet is not being conscious and they're put in a situation where they feel not enough, they're going to clam up. And so knowing that, going, okay, I feel like my voice is tightening. I feel like I can't, like, okay, let's tune in. Let's sit back in our knowing that we're whole and complete. Let's activate love. Will allow that individual to actually speak their truth more and speak up for their care.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And self advocate, which
yes.
is one of the great keys that I'm always preaching. But so if people want to learn more about soul language, what's the best way to connect with you?
They can go on soullanguage.us, and there's a tab there called soul language, because I do a couple of other good things. And if they hit the discovery link, they can sign up for a discovery session where I'll ID one of their soul languages as my gift.
Ooh, wonderful. And I'm going to go ahead at soullanguage.us on the soul language tab. I will have that discovery link for all you listeners in the podcast episode page. So look for that. But one final question before we go. So what do you feel? What do you feel is the most important thing to remember when searching for answers when doctors say we don't know?
It's really to trust your inner knowing. I think so often we hand over our power, not that you can lose your power or hand it over, but we so often go, well, they know more. They must know more. So it's really about listening to that internal wisdom and really taking action from there. I mean, I've gone into doctor's offices and gone, okay, so here's what's wrong. And they'll be like, yeah. I'm like, no. I'm telling you, here's what's wrong.
Yeah.
And they'll come back and they'll go, yeah, that's what's wrong.
That's what it is. Yeah, you ask a patient, what's wrong with you? And they'll tell you.
Right. And so, you know, I think that so often when they get that, no, you really have to go, no, this is what I know to be true. And move from there. Don't hand over your power to someone in authority.
Excellent. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love having you as a guest. So thank you for being here on the guest of When Doctors Say We Don't Know. This has been an engaging conversation, and I'm hopeful those of you listening will hear a message of hope so you too can turn your experience of pain into triumph. If you're driving and can't click on the links to the show notes, remember you can always hop onto theelevateinstitute.com and follow the podcast links for today's show. There's more to talk about. Tune in next week for the next episode of When Doctors Say We Don't Know. This is Eva Venari reminding you to question everything.